नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 द एट्रोसिटीज ऑफ किंग कंसा टेक्स्ट नंबर 6।
नौ अहम तेहि अवराजा अवराजा दीना दीना हत सुता प्रभो दातुम अर्हसि मंदया अंगे माम चर माम प्रजाम।
ट्रांसलेशन। माय लॉर्ड माय ब्रदर आई एम वेरी पुअर बीइंग बिरेफ्ट ऑफ ऑल माय चिल्ड्रन बट स्टिल आई एम योर यंगर सिस्टर एंड देयरफॉर इट वुड बी वर्थी ऑफ यू टू गिव मी दिस लास्ट चाइल्ड एज ए गिफ्ट। Sri Suk- so there is no purport to this verse. We'll continue. Verse number 7. Sri Sukavacha Upakuyhat Majam Evam Rudataya Dina Dinavat Yachitastam Vinirvatcha Hastad Achichidate Kalaha. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Devaki was crying like a very poor woman, actually she was not poor. And therefore the word used here is Dinavat. She had already given birth to Krishna. Therefore, who could have been richer than she? Even the demigods had come to offer prayers to Devaki, but she played the part of a poor, piteously afflicted woman because she wanted to save the daughter of Yashoda. So this chapter is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. And we can see that how from the very beginning of this chapter we see how Kamsa is trying to kill a very small baby girl child who he thought was daughter of Devaki. So Devaki is crying very piteously, requesting Kamsa to let the child live. And if you just imagine the situation, it is very, very piteous. Mother is trying her best to save the child. And Kamsa is such a cruel personality. He practically snatched the baby and tried to kill. And here, Srila Prabhupada in his purport is glorifying Mother Devaki, that how, although the child did not belong to her, it was belonging to Mother Yashoda, still she was crying very grievously. She was feeling very poor and wretched, although there is no reason for her to feel poor. Dinavat, the word is used, Prabhupada says, the word is used, Dinavat. That means like a poor lady. She is not poor because she has already given birth to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. All the demigods, all the big, big personalities are worshipping her. Suppose somebody is a big person, like Ambani and all, you know, they are worshipped by bigger people in this, you know, all the politicians, big, big shots, they come and, you know, like Bill Gates came. So many different ministers were hankering to see him. He is a rich man. Similarly, because Devaki is already given birth to Krishna, therefore many, many big personalities were actually there and they worshipped her just few hours back. And here we see, but Devaki is feeling like a very, very poor person. She is begging She is begging to Kamsa, please give me this child in charity as a gift. So this is her greatness, that although the child belonged to Yashoda, she was begging for her protection. So King Kamsa's atrocities doesn't stop. This chapter describes very vividly that how afterwards then she appears in her eight-handed form. We have been hearing about this a little bit. And then he asks for forgiveness. Kamsa asks forgiveness to Durga Devi, because you know Shivji and Durga are like his worshipable deities. So immediately he withdraws, he releases Devaki Vasudev, asks for forgiveness and so many things. And later again he meets his ministers, associates, who advises him again to continue his atrocities. So this association is very, very important concept in our life, devotional life. We should not just associate with anyone, anytime. Of course we see Narada Muni comes to meet Kamsa and all the demons, but he doesn't stay with them for a long, long time. He just comes to do the preaching, whatever is necessary for their benefit. You know? Because Kamsa should be destroyed quickly and be liberated. So therefore they asked him to, you know, arrest Devaki and Vasudeva so that everything happens quickly. And Kamsa also gets his liberation quickly. So for preaching sake, unless one is very, very qualified, we should not try to mix with such envious people. So all these people are envious of Krishna because they wanted to enjoy separately. And they thought Kamsa is a good instrument, he can help us. So they are always instigating him, oh, you can fight, you can kill Vishnu and do all these things. What is your power is enormous. You can do whatever you want. You can even kill Vishnu. So therefore, because they themselves are envious and like Prabhupada says, rascals, foolish. Envious people are foolish actually. So therefore, all these things are happening. So I was the other day reading a little bit of this commentaries by Madhvacharya on Bhagavad Gita. So with permission of devotees, like just a little bit of the concept, not very detailed. In the 9th chapter of Gita, it describes the most confidential knowledge of Krishna, of God basically. And the most confidential knowledge in the beginning, Krishna says, Anasuyave, one who is non-envious, because Arjuna, you are non-envious, you will be able to understand this knowledge I am about to speak. So Shripad Madhvacharya, he asked this question, is hatred of God also means to salvation with regard to this non-envious? Because it is described in many places that how Shishupal and Kamsa, they constantly envied out of hatred. They wanted to kill Krishna before he was born. He was trying to kill Devaki. He didn't even allow to enter the womb. So that was the kind of hatred, deep-rooted hatred he had. And because of such constant meditation, it is described that how they all got liberated. So if it is that is the way, whether you love God or you hate God, what is the big deal? You can hate, enjoy this world, at the same time get salvation also. So this proposal may come to people's mind. Sometimes people argue like that. So he butts out, he is bringing out this point. And then he says, so this theory, they quote, so he says, in support of this theory, they quote Bhagavad Gita, where it is said that Shishupal and others attained salvation by the hatred of Krishna. Salvation is the manifestation of true nature of soul, which is similar to God's own nature. So this is the main point, fundamental point on which he argues. What is salvation? He says, salvation is the manifestation of the true nature of soul, which is similar to God's own nature. So God's own nature is all good. He is embodiment of all pure transcendental qualities. That's Supreme Lord. So salvation means our nature, when it matches with Krishna's nature, then we are free from this material world. That's how it is defined. So he says, if we say just by hatred of the Lord, constant enviousness towards the Lord, if we can be released, if we can be liberated, then that is not actually true. He is saying many different points. First of all, he says this is a very dangerous proposal to cultivate hatred in us towards the God. And this is a kind of different kind of sadhana. We are trying to love Krishna, that's a sadhana. But to cultivate a sadhana to become envious of the Lord, that is another way. But he says it's very dangerous because, first of all, it is detrimental to the welfare of the entire organized society. To live in an organized society, we need to help each other, we need to serve each other, we need to sacrifice for each other. There has to be certain moral conducts, moral standards. You know, you live and let others live. That is what morality is, basically. But even such mundane morality will not be able to, will not function properly if people cultivate hatred, envy, and selfish enjoyments. It's not possible. So it will be detrimental to the welfare of the entire organized society. It is not proper to say that one who hates and one who loves, although both thinking of the Lord, are on the same level. They're not on the same level. Why? He says, for love means sacrifice, sacrifice penance, whereas hatred involves immorality and wantonness. Wantonness means selfish enjoyment, basically. Irrespective of the time, place, circumstance, people want to enjoy. And we see in this day and time, unfortunately, this is happening all over. People don't care who's around. Like we see in the case of Nalakuvar and Manigrib, although Narada Muni was there, he didn't bother. These two brothers didn't bother to stop their enjoyment. So that's what is happening. So he's saying, they're not the same. Love means sacrifice and penance. Penance means austerity. Tapasya. So people want to love, but they're not ready to sacrifice. They're not ready to undergo some austerities, like tolerance and all these things. So it is not possible. They're not the same thing. And secondly, he says, we cannot get liberation simply by concentrating on God. We can get salvation only if we are able to contemplate upon His auspicious qualities. We have to contemplate on the auspicious qualities of the Lord to be liberated. Why is it so? He explains, if the soul is to unfold its own self of auspicious qualities, if we have to manifest our auspicious qualities, or it has to unfold within the heart, then we must contemplate on the good qualities of the Almighty God. Unless we meditate on the good qualities of the Supreme Lord, our own good qualities will not surface, will not manifest. So therefore, only when we have love and devotion can we think uninterruptedly of the good qualities of the God. So therefore, devotion is important. Bhakti is important. Because without bhakti, we cannot think of good qualities of the Lord. If we have hatred, we'll only meditate on the faults. You know, there are so many created faults about the Supreme Lord. The people say, why there is so much poverty? Because God doesn't care. Things like that, they start thinking about the negative qualities which are created by themselves. So, but if one has love, one will only reflect uninterruptedly, unceasingly about the good qualities of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Sripad Madhvacharya is saying that we have to follow this path. Mahajaniyana Gathasu Pantha, that we have to follow how the pure devotees always reflect on the supreme qualities of the Lord. We are hearing Gaurangpur was saying the other day, he's quoting Prabhupada basically. Some devotees are asking in Vrindavan, asking Prabhupada, if one does smokes ganja in Vrindavan, what will happen to him? Some kind of negative activity. And Prabhupada says it will happen, he will become monkey or this or that, something he says. Then one does illicit sex in Vrindavan, what happens? Then he says, you're in Vrindavan, why not think of something good? Why are you thinking all these negative things here? And like we are addressing the deities the other day and we are hearing Prabhupada speaking, and he was mentioning that anyone who comes to me, I ask them to follow four regulative principles. No meditating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And anyone who refuses to accept this, I reject them, I don't care. This is like that. Even if, whoever he may be, you know, big shot, big gun, whoever he may be, or she may be, if one doesn't follow these four regulative principles, I don't take responsibilities, Prabhupada says. Therefore, sometimes we think that if Kamsa could get liberated by hating Krishna, we can also be like that. But it is not recommended by acharyas. He says, is it possible to remember them if the mind and heart are corrupted by hatred? Hatred always looks upon bad qualities. The chief aim of the enemy of God is to brood on the shortcomings of God. And this constant gloating on God against the background of hatred cannot help in any way the blossoming of the virtuous beauty of the soul. These are the very nice explanation. Then of course, he says how Krishna explains, because we are speaking 9th chapter, there is moga asa, moga karmana, moga jnana vichesa. That how, he says, Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, the first line he says, even devotees, outwardly they may be chanting Hare Krishna, wearing kanthimala, tilak and all these things, but in their heart, if they don't accept Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the person who is Supreme Lord, then they will not get their desired goal. They will not be able to go back to Godhead. Very clearly mentioned. So what to speak of others? So if moga asa moga karmana means one who is not favorably disposed towards Krishna's auspicious qualities and neglect and reject, instead constantly think about the faults about the Lord, such a person cannot attain liberation. Then, Hare Krishna. Then one may say, how could Kamsa and Shishupal, they got liberation? That also he explains very nicely. He says, by some demonical inspiration, even though noble souls, Shishupal. Why he says noble souls? Because there are Jaya Vijaya in the spiritual world. All souls are actually noble souls. It is the interactions with this world that we become bad. Otherwise, every soul is noble. So by some demonic inspirations, even though noble souls like Shishupal and others hated Sri Krishna intensely, but they had deep within them intense devotion for God. Deep within. That revealed itself in the end at the vision of the Lord Himself, and they obtained their final salvation. This is the opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam also. He says, when they saw the Lord and the Lord actually annihilated annihilated the bad qualities, and this intense love that was deep within was actually manifested. And then they became liberated. It is not that they hate and went back to Godhead without any devotion. It's not like that. That devotion actually manifested because of darshan and the divine touch and interference of the Supreme Lord directly in their own lives. So therefore, for a common man, for a common sadhaka, it is never recommended to follow the negative path of meditating on the Lord in hatred all the time. If the Lord doesn't appear directly, and if He doesn't kill us directly, it is not going to help. It's going to only drive us deeper and deeper into dark well of the hellish life. So this is one point that I wanted to discuss from this particular atrocities of Kamsa, how he hated and destroyed Brahmanas and killed innocent, helpless infants. That was like too much. So here we see, therefore it is established that the royal road to salvation is pure devotion. The royal road to salvation is, that is the recommended path. That is a beautiful highway on which we can relish traveling to the path back home, back to Godhead. The Gita points out that we should not be after the daydreams of easily wrestling salvation by following the wicked paths. It's not possible to get salvation. So therefore, one has to follow this path of Navada Bhakti, where devotional service is performed favorably for the pleasure of the Lord and devotees. So while speaking this, today is also Odhan Sasthi, a very, very auspicious day. And how this kind of association, so we are in the association of devotees, therefore we cannot entertain this hatred and envy while living with each other also. And one has to be very, very careful in one's dealings. So of course, Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. He says, while chanting Hare Krishna, we should try our best to avoid the offenses. Right? Avoid. He doesn't say don't commit offense. Nobody will be able to, you know, for people like me. We cannot but commit some time offense because of our conditionings, because of our upbringing, and for many lifetimes of conditionings. It's not easy to overcome envy so easily. But at the same time, one should try one's best to avoid, and then the Lord will help. And the devotee's blessings will be with us. So today's festival is observed in Jagannath Puri Dham, as well as Mayapur, where we have deities of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra at Rajapur. Very nicely, Jananayas Prabhu and all the devotees, they observe very nicely this festival. Today is the official day of starting up winter in Jagannathpur, in that area, locality. In Bombay we don't feel much, but there it's cold, winter starts there. And because the winter has started, so they offer a fresh set of winter cloths to Jagannath. It is so fresh that it comes straight from the weaver's house, full of fresh. And I was just talking to our Ramkumar Panda, what is this festival they observe, how they observe. He said, today they put 19 cloths over Jagannath. And this festival is also called Ghoda Lagi Vesa. Ghoda Lagi means, Ghoda means not horse. In Odia, Ghoda means to cover. So Ghodeva means to cover. So they cover Lord with many, many cloths. And only the face is visible. Only his lotus face is visible. Otherwise the entire body is covered with 19 number of cloths. And few of the cloths are as long as 16 feet or maybe a little longer. And 8 feet, 6 to 8 feet wide and 16 feet long. Two of those cloths. And 19 cloths, you know, they put on the vest, then they put on some shirt, then they put on sweater, then they put on chadar, then another silk chadar, then gloves for the hands, socks for the feet, cap on the head, and there is a muffler also. Like they keep covering, and the entire body is covered fully. So the cold cannot touch the Lord. And similarly, they dress Baldev also, 19 cloths, and Subhadra they cover some 8 or 9 cloths. And this festival is so nice, people from all over, they come to watch this ceremony. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happily would go to Puri, Sri Mandir, to observe this festival. And this festival goes on in this way till Vasant Panchami, Saraswati Puja that day, and many, many acharyas appeared on that day. Very auspicious day. Till that day they cover 19 cloths, and from that day onwards they reduce by half. So instead of 19, there will be 9.5. Like that. And it goes until Makar Sankranti, when actually summer starts. Then they remove the coverings. And it's a very nice, pleasant festival, where devotees saw how the Lord is covered with many, many beautiful, colorful cloths, many, many bedecked jewelries, bedecked with very nice jewels, and fresh, fragrant flower garlands. And it's very nice to observe. So, in this regard, there is a very nice pastime that happens on this particular day. And that is the last chapter of Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And His Holiness Radha Swami was speaking one day that how in this last chapter Vrindavan Das Thakur is warning us against Vaishnava Parad. And this last chapter is about actual Vaishnava Parad a little bit. But it's very nicely described, this chapter. I'll try to describe as much as possible within the time limits, because marathon is going on. Many of these devotees may also go later in the day, so we have to give the time. Anyway, so actually this chapter begins in a way by saying, all glory to Supreme Lord Sri Gaurachandra, who is marked with the sign of Sri Vatsa. All victory to the embodiment of eternal religion and all souls, Sri Gaurahari, eternal religion of all souls, Sri Gaurahari, for He is the crest jewel manifesting from the ocean bed of the womb of Sri Sachimata. All glory to you, O Gaur Gopal, for you are always attracted to and propagate the congregational chanting of Lord's holy name. You are the protector of your beloved devotees and death personified for the evil wrongdoers. All victory to Sri Gauranga with all his followers. Simply by hearing the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, one develops bhakti, pure devotion. So this is the glory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And it so happens that one day, Advaita Acharya returns to where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting amongst his devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, he is very friendly to Advaita Acharya, he would ask, what did you go and what did you do today? Where are you coming from? He said, I went to see Lord Jagannath. And now I have come to see you. Then he said, well then, what did you do there? He said, I took darshan of Jagannath, then I did parikrama several times. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you are defeated. So why am I defeated? You have to explain, why am I defeated? He says, well, when you are taking parikrama, when you went behind Jagannath, you could not see Jagannath. But I always stand in front, left or right, and always see Jagannath. Therefore, you will defeat it and I won. So this loving talk was going on. Devotees are very happy to hear all these transcendental topics. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit approaches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, actually, I've been disturbed. He said, why you are disturbed? It's because I gave the Ishta Mantra, that is the mantra that is given to worship one deities, one personal deity, which was given by his guru, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So I gave this mantra to an undeserving person. So after giving that, I'm feeling disturbed. So you please reinitiate me. So it begins, the chapter begins like this. Reinitiate me. Then he says, how can I reinitiate? This is a very dangerous proposal. While your guru is still living, if I initiate, then both yours as well as mine spiritual life will be jeopardized completely. So therefore, don't ask like this. Then he says, no, he is away from here. He is not here. Because he is attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying, he is not here. He is in Mangal. So you can give me. He says, no. Because you want him to be here, and because I am also thinking about him for past many days, I can say that within 10 days he will be here. And Vrindavan Thakur actually glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that he is the Supreme Lord. He knows past, present and future. He is the best of all mystics. So he knew he is going to come. So he said, within 10 days, Shripad Pundarik Vidyanidhi is going to come to Jagannath Puri. And of course, within a few days he arrives. Drawn by the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciple, Gadadhar Pandit. And in the beginning of this chapter, we see that how Vrindavan Das Thakur is actually glorifying Gadadhar Pandit very much. He is glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, already has glorified, and he also glorifies Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and is glorified tremendously. He says, when Swarupadamodara Maharaj Goswami would be singing kirtan, it would make Lord Chaitanya dance in ecstasy, unceasingly, non-stop, spontaneously. As soon as he would sing, Mahaprabhu would start dancing. It's like so spontaneous that he doesn't have to think about his surroundings sometimes. And his kirtan should be filled with so much of devotion that everybody would dance. And nobody would even bother whether thorn have picked their feet or not. They would not know. Then what to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy? He would go into tremendous ecstasies. One time while he was singing, Mahaprabhu danced so much, and the ecstasy jumped into a well. And everybody was like, shocked. What is going to happen? Everybody was looking into the well. Then Advaita Acharya looked into the well, and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was floating in a pool of butter. His golden form was floating. Then they took him out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out. Even he didn't know what happened. He's saying, "What happened? What happened? Why are you all like this? Chant kirtan like that?" He didn't know what happened exactly. So that was his level of ecstasy. And that is the glory of Swarupadamodara Goswami. Why, in one sense, why they are glorified? Because Shripad Pundarik Vidyanidhi is actually a very good, intimate, heart-to-heart friend of Swarupadamodara Goswami. And Gadadhar Pandit, whenever he would speak Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no matter how many times he had heard this pastime, he would not fail to realize that. Every time he would speak Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would realize with more eagerness and more tasteful. He will be enjoying it more and more, releasing it more and more. Every time he spoke, no matter the same pastime, Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, same pastime he would be hearing with greater release every time. So these two personalities are glorified too much because one is disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and second is a very, very intimate heart-to-heart friend of Swarupadamodara Goswami. And in turn, they are very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These two personalities. So in this way, Shripad Pundarik Vidyanidhi is glorified. That his status, his level as a devotee is too high. He is great. Then also, he glorifies Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Because in this pastime, Vadana Shasti pastime, he is about to speak how there is a mistake committed by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So even before speaking about that, he is glorifying him like anything. So that is how we can understand from this chapter. Before we speak any criticism, if it is at all necessary, it should not be necessary. Actually, it is said we should not criticize at all from this chapter. But one has to be very careful. Even if something has to be spoken, some complaint or something, that devotee has to be glorified tremendously before a proposal, we have to make a proposal, something is wrong with this, something happened like this or that, whatever. So here we can see Vrindavan Das is profusely glorifying these devotees and finally comes to this point. He says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu receives him saying, "Oh, my father has come, my father has come." That's how he was treating him, like his own father. They embraced, the tears of ecstasy flew from their eyes and all the devotees are happy surrounding them. It is said Pundarik Vidyanidhi loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very thickly, and he loved each devotee is there present also equally. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "You stay here and I will make your arrangement in Puri." Normally when we meet some devotees who come after some time, like somebody comes from Goa or some devotees return, we say, "How long are you here?" Or we ask, "When are you going back?" These are like very bad questions. Sometimes I ask those questions. But actually we should ask, "You stay here. Stay here for some time like that. Don't go away." So Mahaprabhu is speaking in the same way. "Stay here. Stay here." And he was so happy to hear it. And he stayed. And then every day they would be going to take darshan. Especially Swarupadamodara Goswami Maharaj, who is his very close friend. They would be very friendly, talking to each other, carefree manner. And the Vadana Shasti festival came. And all the devotees going there, like it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked. His eyes were fixed on Jagannath's lotus face. They're all releasing this festival when they're putting on cloths on Jagannath. But there is one thing, they are putting fresh, because they didn't want to give their previous year's winter cloth. They are always giving fresh cloths. So it was so fresh, it would come straight from the mill. I mean, it was starched. But I saw some photographs on Mayapur site, on Jagannath's, this wooden festival. This starched cloth they have actually put is standing very straight and looking very beautiful. Very nice. So they're putting on these starched cloths, and they all relish the festival. But at the end, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into seclusion, and finally, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami both walked back to their residences. And as they're walking by, they're talking very, very intimately, friendly, and they're disclosing their heart. It's not that Pundarik Vidyanidhi went out and spoke about the pujaris in the open, private area, in a public area, but rather in private, his whatever he felt, he's speaking to Swarup Damodar Goswami. He says, this festival is very nice, but why are they putting on these starched cloths on Jagannath? He's the Supreme Lord, and all of us know, according to scriptures, the starched cloth should be washed before it is offered to the Lord. So he was arguing like that. Actually, I will read. It is a very nice conversation. We have 2-3 minutes. Sorry. So he says, Swarup Damodar replied, here no one faults this practice since it is considered part of their religious tradition. He said, this is traditional religion system and everybody follows since age old. So therefore there is no fault on the part of the current pujaris. Don't blame them because they are doing what it has been done in tradition. Don't blame them. So those who strictly follow scriptural rules may not completely agree, but this regulation, tradition, is an integral part of festivities. Besides, if the Lord did not wish, surely the king would have prohibited this part of the ritual. The king did not prohibit. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi says, you are speaking about the king, but even I saw, even the king ties a starched cloth around his head. Raja, king also tying the starched cloth, what he can think? So he spoke like that. Very frank speaking. So Swarup Damodar replied, my dear brother, all these things are not considered transgressions since they are part of this Odan Shasti festival. Besides, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagannath himself, does not pass judgment. So he says, king is not allowing. Now he says, Jagannath is allowing. So what is your problem? King allowed. He said, okay, king is wearing this. But then Jagannath also allows. Then he says, Vidyanidhi says, he insisted, my dear brother, hear me out. Lord Jagannath is indeed transcendental and the Supreme Godhead. Hence, no rule applies to him. But what about his servitors? Have they become incarnations of Supreme Brahman due to living in Nilachal? Because they are living in Puri, are they become incarnations? And can they therefore deviate from scriptural norms? So talking and debating in this manner, these two intimate friends were enjoying and laughing together as they walked, sometimes holding hands, or sometimes putting their arms over others' shoulder and in a carefree manner. Srila Vidyanidhi did not spare even the servitors of the Lord Jagannath for what he considered their negligence in serving the Lord. So now, he is again glorifying. So before he glorified, then he spoke the past time. And after again, Vrindavan Das Thakur glorifies Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So that's how it is, the whole program is. Before and after glorification. So not everyone can understand the feelings in the heart of the servitors of the Lord. Only Krishna knows the extent of one's attachment to Him. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, first puts His devotee into illusion for a specific purpose and then He Himself dispels the illusion out of compassion. So just like Arjuna was put into illusion, then Krishna again dispels it by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in case of great souls, we cannot say they are criticizing. You know, he's criticizing. We cannot say like that. He's saying, the Lord only put him into illusion. The Lord is going to dispel it. How is he going to dispel it? Now he's going to describe. That is very interesting. So the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya, knew everything about Srila Vidyanidhi's views on the starched cloths. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew it. So therefore, he took the form of Jagannath, and together with Balaram, he appeared in the dream of Srila Vidyanidhi. And in his dream, Srila Vidyanidhi saw both Jagannath and Balaram were extremely angry as they began to slap him hard on his cheeks. Red welts appeared on his flushed cheeks, and in pain and anguish, he threw himself at the feet of the Lord and cried out, "O Krishna, save me, kindly forgive my offenses." Actually, he did not know what is his offense. Then he says, "O Lord, what is my offense?" First is, "Please forgive my offense." That's our approach should be. Any chastisement comes, immediately say, "Forgive my offenses." Then ask, "What is my offense?" He's asking like that. So, what offense am I being punished for? The Lord replied, "There is no end to your offenses. Just like me, my servitors do not belong to any caste. And knowing all this, you should have taken up residence here. But if you at all wish to engage in splitting hairs about rituals and proper practices, you had best return to your own previous place and do so there. I have fixed all the customs to be followed in these festivals. And now you have criticized my servitors and these performances by finding fault with my dressing in starched cloths is not good," he's saying basically. So in this way, then he says, "Please forgive all my offenses." He says, "The face which criticized the devotees, your servitors, have been sufficiently punished. So therefore, because you are slapping his face only, so therefore kindly now forgive me and I will not commit this offense." And this, the Lord actually gives their grace through their merciful glance and they leave. And next day morning, he doesn't come to Mangala Arati because his cheeks were swollen because of heavy beating in the night. So Sarvadamodara Goswami, he asks him that, "What happened? Why didn't you come to Mangala Arati?" He says, "Come inside, I'll tell you." Then he goes inside his house, then he sees his cheeks swollen. Says, "What happened?" Then he describes the whole story. And he became very happy to hear that. Then again, Vrindavan Das Thakur glorifies Vidyanidhi saying that this is wonderful. Vidyanidhi is speaking, "This is wonderful. I was offensive and got punished. The Lord slapped me with his transcendental hand. I was lucky to get away with so little." And this is what is glorified by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says, "Just observe the glory and greatness of Srila Vidyanidhi, who is the perfect example of the limitless compassion of the Lord upon his devotee. The Supreme Lord does not take task even his own son, Pradyumna." I don't know what mistake Pradyumna did. "Or even his wife, Satyabhama, Rukmini, Janaki, Sita, his other personal associates, even the hosts of demigods and demigoddesses in this way." Like Indra also committed so much offense, God did not beat him. He just frustrated him, then let him go. Blessed him, of course. But here in this case, he's actually beating Vidyanidhi. And that is considered to be very nice by both the devotee as well as the Vrindavan Das Thakur. "This act is the first of its kind, for it is not often that the Lord will directly appear before someone in a dream and mercifully punish him for an offense. This is most fortunate." So in this way, he concludes this by saying that how one should be careful in criticizing the devotees who are living. Otherwise, as it is said, like Jagannath himself speaks, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, that if you criticize, you will be thrown out of the association of devotees. Go back to your place, don't stay in Puri, like he was saying. So therefore, one has to be careful and one has to cultivate all positive, favorable devotional qualities so that ultimately we achieve the life's desired goal. Hare Krishna. Sorry, despite my desire and attempt, I could not finish on time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sambhata Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki. Taya Gaur Premanande.